Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan McLeod. Now, I'm at the headquarters of Wireless Business Solutions, now renamed to RAIN, to chat to CEO Duncan Simpson-Crabbe. I've been wanting to sit down with Duncan for ages, so I'm glad we've finally managed to get this together. Welcome to Tech Central, Duncan.
Thank you very much.
So it's been a couple of years for you since Multisource, which is backed by former top bankers Michael Jordan and Paul Harris, acquired WBS. What have you guys been up to in that time?
Oof, we've been up to quite a lot, Duncan, to be honest. I think it took us a little bit of time to come in and see exactly what was going on here. And we had a good look around the existing business. The two main operating entities, or the two operating entities in here, were obviously iBurst and Broadlink. Mm-hmm. Broadlink has been a stable business in the group for many years. And iBurst, I think, has been well publicized as, you know, it had been struggling for a while. Was basically outdated, obsolete technology, so that needed a little bit of rethinking. Mm-hmm. And obviously, with the other assets within the group, there was an opportunity to look to build a more modern next generation network. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's really what we've been working on. And as you know, it's rolling out the new LTE Advanced network.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that LTE Advanced 4G Plus network with you in some detail later in this podcast. But Duncan, just tell me how you got involved in this business. How did you come to WBS, now RAIN? What's your background in the ICT sector?
I've been involved with the technology sector for many years. I was a graduate of Edinburgh and studied computer science there, and ended up working for a big American company. Long story short, ended up in South Africa with a company called Texas Instruments, just after sanctions were lifted in 1993. And then shortly thereafter started my own company, which was a consultancy-based company specializing in development technologies. In those days, they were called Case Tools.
Right.
So we went around the enterprise market developing enterprise systems for the big corporates. Yeah. Mm. So that's how I got into the IT world. We started the business locally and internationally at the same time. So I spent quite a lot of time traveling. And I think my introduction to the telco world was around a company that we acquired called Intech. Mm-hmm. And it's Intech developed the first wholesale billing application for the telco world. We called it Interconnect. So I think we believe we actually founded the term Interconnect. and obviously in those days, this was back in the mid-90s, deregulation hadn't hit in the telco world anywhere in the world. We saw an opportunity to build a wholesale application that could actually manage the different operators operating on each other's networks. So that business went very well, and obviously deregulation hit very quickly around the world, and our application rolled out quite quickly. In fact, MTN, Telkom are a number of the users mm-hmm. of the application. So that's my background, I guess, in the IT world. We grew the businesses in a number of countries. Focus was on the software side, from the wholesale billing, and then also in general consultancy development IT. Mm. We had a big Oracle shop in South Africa, quite a big SAP shop in South Africa, and various other technologies in different parts of the world. So.
Okay. So how did WBS come about?
twofold, actually. I've known Mike Brown, who's the CEO of Broadlink, for a number of years. And Mike and I often met and chatted around what he was doing, what some of his challenges were, and some of his opportunities. And then also Paul Harris and myself have been friends for many years, through golf, not business. I think initially is where I met him. And Paul met with me one evening and he said he's come across a very exciting opportunity. And I knew he'd made some or got involved in some telco-related assets via Multisource with Brandon Lee and co. Mm-hmm. And I'd met with Brandon, so I kind of knew what he was up to. You know? So I went and met Paul, and he said, look, he's come across this business called WBS. You know? And I said, oh, Paul, actually, I know that business very well. Yeah. So that's kind of how we got into it. And I said, what's your angle on this? I said, the telco world is a big world to play in and a very expensive one. I said, what are you looking to do? Are you interested in iBurst or are you interested in Broadlink? And he said, no, look, he said he believes there's some good assets in there and also believes that the company has got some very good assets in terms of the license that it holds in the telco sector. Which I knew about, yeah. So that's really how I was introduced to it. We came in, we did a bit of a DD on it. We put a bit of a business plan and a strategy together in terms of how we believed that we could make it a successful business.
Okay. And all the way back then, was it clear that the future of this business was going to be in providing wireless broadband?
Ultimately the strategy has always been to roll out a network.
Yeah.
To make use of the license that we have. Mm-hmm. So yes, that was always the plan. Yes. Okay. So that we would look to launch a mobile operator, mm-hmm. fixed and mobile operator in the country.
Right.
So,
okay. Yeah.
So that was the plan. That's mm-hmm. Paul's a big thinker. Yeah. And that's always been the plan. Yeah.
What was the opportunity, though? I mean, you're coming into what is arguably a very crowded market already with some very big players. What does WBS Now Rain bring to the industry that, let's say, wasn't there before?
Look, I think, you know, I agree with you. I mean, people often say that if you're number one, it's fine. If you're number two, it's fine. If you're number three, you can struggle, but you'll probably do all right. Then thereafter, it becomes a bit of a struggle. Yeah. So, and in any case, I think they're right. However, I think in terms of where we sit as a business, and certainly in terms of our plans as to what we want to do, we don't really see ourselves as a typical mobile operator in the market. Mm. First of all, we're data focused. Secondly, we have no legacy.
Yeah.
We don't have these enormous networks to maintain and run. Mm. Obviously, we don't have the customer base either, which is a bit of a negative. But we don't see ourselves as a traditional operator going forward. We're data only. We want to drive the business with technology. We want to try and bring prices down to an acceptable level where we can, from a data point of view, and we want to target people, I think primarily that use data to run their lives. They're becoming as people who like my life. I mean, to be honest, voice calls in my life aren't really that important, but data is enormously important. And I think for a lot of people, that's becoming more and more important in their lives. Yeah. So that's kind of our market. And so we don't really see ourselves as direct competitors with the existing telcos.
Yeah.
Although we will obviously compete at some level.
So this is a real data play. I mean, you talk to the big operators, and they're also obviously investing heavily in data, but they talk about providing services on top of that data as well. I think there's a fear amongst the big operators that they'll be turned into that industry term, dumb pipes. What is your view on that? What are you building here? Are you building a pipe? Are you planning to offer value-added service on top of that pipe? What's the long-term future for this business?
I think there are a number of opportunities for the business. Ultimately, we need to build a pipe. We need to build a platform that we can offer services on. I mean, there's a lot of talk in not just in South Africa, but in the world around IoT, what it's going to mean, what it's going to bring. So I think at the moment that the focus is definitely on building the platform. Mm. And there are a lot of strategies going around about what we should and shouldn't be offering on top of that. Yeah. Mm. But ultimately, we want to connect South Africans to the digital world, and that's what we want to try and do. Yeah. If there are opportunities to put services on top of that, then great. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the term dumb pipe for operators is a little bit unfair in many respects. If you can create that platform and allow all of South Africa to connect to it, I think there's enormous opportunities and for everyone, not just for the operators. So I don't really see it as a dumb pipe. Mm. It's a platform that you can leverage. You could call Facebook a dumb platform, that's what people do with it. I think that's important.
Okay. Now, in the release you issued this morning, you said that you're going to be offering both services directly to end users, and you're terming your platform, I think, Rain to the Home, RTTH. you also going to offer services on a wholesale basis to other operators. But let's talk about that consumer component first. Can you maybe provide just a little bit more color in terms of what it is you're going to be offering to the market?
Okay, I think our offerings are going to be phased. Obviously, we don't have national coverage at the moment, and we don't have a roaming agreement to offer that. But obviously, where we've got coverage, we can offer what we're terming a fixed broadband service, wireless service to the home. Yeah. So an alternate to DSL or fiber, for example.
Just delivered wirelessly.
Delivered wirelessly. Yeah. So that'll be our initial focus. Will be to bring those services into the home. And that's the product we're referring to when we call it Rain to the Home.
Yeah.
So and then obviously as coverage grows, we are hopefully on target to hit our 2,000 by the end of this year, which we believe will give us in the region of 70% metro coverage. And then we would look at launching mobile services directly to the consumer. We'd have to consider a number of strategies in terms of where we had holes in coverage, or if people were looking for voice services. But we haven't got there yet. But the initial plan now is to get on and launch the services to the home.
But you could potentially do that with a roaming partner for example, getting 2G, 3G coverage.
We could potentially. Yeah.
That's
sometime in the future.
Okay. So the focus for now, though, is deploying a pure LTE advanced 4.5G or 4G plus,
whatever they call it,
network. Okay. Yes. And you've rolled out about 750 base stations?
We're about 750 at the moment.
Okay. Those are all live, are they?
The majority of them are live. I think if you go to our coverage map on our newly launched website.
Yeah. That's rain.co.za.
I think that probably shows about just over 600 of them.
Okay.
Because they're varying phases of live, to be honest, I don't fully understand. But every day it's growing and it's growing and it's growing. But we've got about 750 on polls at the moment, and obviously more and more every day. So that's what's going well.
So you must be rolling out at quite a rate because you're targeting 2,000 by the end of
2,000 by the end of the year. Obviously, it's ramping. Initially, there was the usual teething problems. But it's getting better and better, and we're learning, we're getting smarter and smarter. So it's going well. So
yeah, you're using an internal team or are you using
no, we're using external contractors.
To
those installations.
Yeah. And where are you, I suppose you're focusing mainly on urban areas, is that right?
Pretty much, yeah, urban areas at the moment. We're trying to get coverage in the metros.
Okay, so are you, you're in the consumer space? Are you mainly targeting people who haven't got fiber to the home yet, or people who don't have very good DSL or no DSL coverage, or are you positioning this as a direct competitor to those fixed line offerings?
Yeah, again, I think we can all coexist. I don't think one's better or worse than the other, and there'll always be a place for fiber, and there will always be a place for wireless technology. Yeah. So we're not really targeting specific areas. In terms of whether there's fiber there or DSL or not.
Yeah.
We're targeting areas where we believe we could. And good access from a tower point of view, where the technologies are right, where transmission is right on the towers. So there's many factors that determine where we actually roll out. But the focus is more on populated areas rather than specifically there's fiber in the area or there's DSL in the area or not. Yeah,
right. So, yeah. Okay. And do you have a launch date at this stage for the consumer offering?
Soon.
Okay. Months?
Hopefully not. No.
Oh, quicker than that.
There'll be some announcements out very shortly in terms of. There's a whole strategy around what we're doing, so there will be an announcement out in the next week.
With regards
to what we're doing.
Okay, so, yeah. I'll look out for that. And then on the wholesale side of things, you're also working with other telecommunications operators. I think it's been quite widely reported that you signed a roaming agreement, or Vodacom signed a roaming agreement with you.
Correct.
We haven't got many details on what they're planning to do yet with that roaming agreement. I can only guess that it's to launch 4G plus services on the Vodacom network. But perhaps just give us an overview of how you're working with other operators. I know the relationship with Vodacom is not an exclusive one.
Not at all. No, not at all. We We spoke to all the operators before we went with Vodacom. We also obviously needed access to tower infrastructure, our passive infrastructure, which we've got from Vodacom. And on the back of that, they signed a roaming, a non-exclusive roaming agreement with us. Yeah. Okay. They're currently roaming on a number of our sites.
Yeah.
So it's all up and running, it's working. Okay. I think they're very happy. You obviously have to ask them.
Sure.
From what I understand, they're very happy. Yes. Yeah,
so. Okay, good. So a lot of the Vodacom, in a lot of the instances where you're rolling out, you're using Vodacom towers to do so?
All at the moment. Again, as we reported in the press previously, we've done a deal where we have access to 5,000 of their towers.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so we currently in negotiations, or not negotiations, in discussions with other operators and other tower providers to get additional access to towers. I mean, the ultimate plan is to have 10,000 sites within the next 5 years. So 5,000 of those we have got from Vodacom. So, so we have a reasonably aggressive strategy. Right,
I'm guessing you can't disclose CapEx numbers, but
no.
But it's certainly it must be a big investment rolling out.
It is. It's a huge investment, which I think is great from my point of view, from Paul Harris and Michael Jordan and Ravi Naidu, et cetera, it does show a commitment to the country, and I think there is a definite opportunity.
So iBurst customers, my understanding is those guys have been already disconnected from the iBurst network as you roll this out and are being transitioned across to the new network.
No, we haven't cut all of them.
All of them.
I think we've decommissioned about 20% of the sites.
Okay.
Which I think had a very limited impact on the iBurst customer base. And I apologise now if there's an iBurst customer out there saying, "Well, you cut me off." But we did. We obviously did. We went through a process that we had to from a regulatory point of view. And didn't inform anybody that it was likely to impact. But the rest are still up and running. We are contacting them daily. We've communicated with them. We are in a process of onboarding them onto the LTE network, obviously where coverage matches where they currently are. So we've got a very nice deal where we're providing this free CPE, LTE CPE that is. We leave them with their iBurst service, and we left it with their iBurst tariff at the moment, so there's no additional charge, and we're just rolling out CPEs to them, and I think we've got about 1,000 on board so far. So.
Okay.
And the aim is to get up to about 10,000 before we terminate services at sometime later in the year.
So. Okay. And is it all uncapped?
Currently, it's all uncapped. Yeah. So, okay. But we keep an eye on it.
Will you be looking at differentiated product offerings with capped?
I think we will. Look, we don't want to be me too. I think I had a meeting with one of the fiber operators the other day, and he said to me that, will you be offering uncapped services? And I said, probably not. No. And he said, why not? We do. And I said, if you look at frequency, it's finite. Yeah? If you look at fiber, it's effectively infinite. Yeah?
Yes.
You just add another strand. Yeah? So,
yeah.
So we need to be careful with capacity in terms of how we manage it. Yeah? But I think we can be very generous in terms of how much data you can allocate to people. But I think it needs to be a planned process. Yeah? And what is uncapped ultimately?
Yeah?
The shape and they do all sorts of things to you. Yeah? Once you get above a certain level, even though they claim they don't. So.
I suppose the thing you have to be very cautious about is promising an unlimited connection, and then lots of people join your network, and then it falls over because the network can't cope.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, how much data can somebody consume at the moment? In reality, at some point, you're going to question whether they're up to no good or running internet cafes. Yeah. I've got two children, and they consume a lot of data, but it's quite difficult to get up, sort of 300-400 gigs a month. Yeah. So ultimately, I think if you set the caps high enough, then I don't think it has any effect on people's lives.
And we're seeing the transition to video on demand, IPTV, the arrival of Showmax and Netflix and all that sort of thing. Is this type of service that you're rolling out here suitable for a Netflix type experience?
Very much so. I mean, we've got two different towers or tower combinations up there. We've got a carrier aggregated service on our 1800 2.6, and we've got an 1800 only And on the combo stacks, you're getting easily fiber comparable speeds. Mm. Yeah. And even on the 1800, obviously we're not congested yet. I mean, I think I saw my broadband had done some tests. I'm not sure where they got all the units to do the test, but well, you can get you 50 plus quite easily. Yeah. So, I mean, we can certainly provide gaming, 4K TV streaming, Netflix, certainly on the back of the network. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Your other subsidiary, Broadlink, are they affected by the rollout of this network at all? Are they going to use this network in any way, or are they really operating independently of this with their own links, etc.?
Look, we've actually made the Broadlink more independent.
Okay.
Historically, how the WBS was run was there were three business units. So there was Iberis, Broadlink, and then there was WBS Network Group, and Broadlink and Iberis were effectively service providers on top of the network. So they'd go off and they'd find a customer and they'd come back and say to the network group, you need to roll out here.
Right.
And the network group, they owned the license, so they rolled out the network.
Right. Yeah.
What we are in the process of doing with Broadlink, which I think is quite exciting for Broadlink, is we've almost completed the transfer of the network into Broadlink. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So obviously we're rolling out the new LTE network, Iber's coming off that, so the remaining MetroNet network will be for Broadlink customers. Mm-hmm. So we're taking that asset across into Broadlink along with the relevant license. Which is the 10.5, those sorts of licenses. Mm. You know, it's a low demand, which we, within the group, we can transfer those across. So Broadlink will become independent in terms of how it operates, which is good from a Broadlink point of view. In terms of them offering LTE services, yes, where particularly in their SME marketplace, where it makes sense, they will be a reseller of the LTE service,
right.
RAIN services. Yeah, I can say the name there.
RAIN. Yeah. Well, that's actually the last question I wanted to ask you today, Duncan. RAIN. Where does the name come from?
Well, RAIN actually is the brainchild of Ravi Naidu, one of our shareholders and directors. Yeah, I think a couple of years ago, I think a bunch of them were in Barcelona for the Mobile Congress, and after a few large gins, they started talking about what the right name for the group would be, and they came up with RAIN. I think RAIN means life. I think in Botswana, I think pula the currency is RAIN. So
okay.
Yeah, and in Africa, I think it's a very positive thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the name. I think if we were in Scotland, it wouldn't be quite so positive. But I think for Africa, it's a great name. Yes.
Yeah.
And it does mean life. It means a lot of positive things in this continent. So yeah, so I think it's a great name. So.
Well, we already have plenty of cloud in the ICT industry, so I suppose it's time we had some rain as well.
Exactly.
Duncan Simpson-Crave is CEO of RAIN, formerly Wireless Business Solutions. Thank you, Duncan, for joining us on the Tech Central podcast today.
Absolute pleasure, Duncan. Thank you.